Mr. Mackenzie Reel 2, you're just on about the various things that you're on building.
Yeah. Well, it was the Rex Club. It was the police club. It was a police club. It had been started by two men, volunteers, in it. Then we took the contract over to complete it. And of course, while doing that one, there was always, you just do so much, and you went away to Scotland and did a bit that one. So they took us from there to the band club. In the band club, I was with an Irish man, in a man called, wait a minute, can I think of his name? Teddy. It'll come to us again, just can't remember, so forget. Anyway, Teddy and me went down, and this Irishman went down to do the band club, and there's a pot belly one, and there's a bit step to do. And the Irishman says, I'll show you how to do this, Norman. So we took it down to put the story, put all the blocks in, fill it up, and done it. And we left it. And this was on the Thursday. So on the Friday, we goes back again, and most of the men then were getting paid the minus. And I told them it was cold and winter, it was the winter. So I says, well, don't put your stuff on this one because I've just heard it away. Well, they never thought it hadn't been working. And a man called Daswell has put his paint on it. And he didn't realise what it was. It was halfway down and he had walked away and he says, that's mine. And he put his hand on and I was out doing this and his hand burnt. And he, you know, caught his hand and he dropped the glass. Well, that was sinful. And he said, I know the man. And he's chasing us up the bloody Rex again to try up there. So from there, again, I went from there. And I went from that one, that week, on up the ranch. And that's a club as well. We had a job there at the plaza because it had just been burned down. So I'm up there. And the bloke thought I was looking up around and what I was. Because I was black as the thing. They're changing that. So he gives us me dinner. I said, no, I don't need this one. Anyways, why he brought this tea, he put and everything else on. And he puts a pint in front of us. I thought it was for Tommy Martin, but no, I didn't realise, I just thought it was a shandy. Well, I just drink and then we'll eat me dinner. It wasn't due there. And I brought it there. And I think another one. When I tried to gun up the steps, I think I fell down about twice. And that learned us a few lessons about that. And I came back again, and I've got a man called Tommy Martin who worked for Tommy Martin. And he had to go down to the Legion after that one, because Tommy, you know, getting the contracts in, right? So we're down there. And that's another episode. We're down here, and we've got to go down, and he's got about a shilling in his pocket. I think it would be a shilling. He come from Gated, he had his white company on, and we're down in the cellar. We're actually plastering the cellar wall because that's where the rain is. And we had to stop the rain. And I'm down there. He says, go up and stand up because he hasn't given us a drink. So I says, right, you are. And never dreaming, he's down, he's getting the slops up there. And he's pouring it down like this. When I comes back again, I've got to tell the steward that he can't get on the stair. And if he's got to do anything, he's got to give me the instructions. Well, at the end of the day, we had to try and get out and we had to get him through the fire door, you know, like the boiler house. Lift this boiler house up, get him out of there, you know, the doors in that one, get him out there. Well, I tell you, it was winter. So his white coat's black. And I've got to try and go in a bus where I didn't know which way to put him, so I just left the bloody thing. And that was another one. So as I say, in about a month, I'd been to about six bloody places, and they were all bloody pubs. And I'm getting well known because, you know, here's a bugger he's drinking again.
And you're just about 15.
I'm 15, 16.
What sort of wages were you getting at that time?
Yeah, I got 30. I got the first week I got there, I would say, because I've worked the Friday and the Saturday. So I got that one. I got about 15 bob that one. And I got 35 bob and I was getting overtime. About 32 shillings. And if you got a guffy one, you know, there was a guff, what they call that one. You got about 7 bob off the other type of thing. When you're taking the teas and getting the stuff on them. you know, the British was giving you, because they were working bonus and you were like having to work for, help them out. Or backing up, you know, that type of thing. And that was what it was. I got that. So me had to give me sister, because my mother had died. My dad was off work. So my money went to my sister. And I kept the rest of the money.
So was that a reasonable wage at that time?
Well, the mines is getting £2.4. If you went down to the iron company, you were on 14 shillings for what I was going to be, a toolmaker. If you went to the ordnance factory, you were on 15 and sixpence. I was on nearly a double the wages then. I don't know then, but the mining people, you know, then when the mine were getting £2.4 at the time, so it was not bad.
Were your brothers and sisters still at home at this time?
My sister was married. She'd get married because my mother died when I was 14. The other sister died when I was 12. She was buried on my birthday when I was 12. My mother died in January, so, and then my sister decided, well, we're having four. My brother, my father, and then a husband. It was them. It was like four together. So she was married. She was down to cook for us, and then it wasn't a very good job. She was a hard-working girl. But that's what it was then.
The family seemed to be a lot closer in those days.
Oh, very close, very close. Yeah, they came back again. Rule was head of the family, was all the same. My dad was, when I went there, he was going to work, but he'd hardly managed because he only had one lung. He had pneumonia, but was not known then. It was only when he died that the doctors told him, when he was 77, that he should never have been working at any time, and he had a running wound on his head. And that was through when he got hit with a stone. It was a big stone that was falling. So he was very strong. Well, I wouldn't say strong, but he was a big, well-built lad at the time. And he had broken ribs.
What sort of hours were you working?
Working then, you worked from 8 till 5 on a Saturday morning. It was 44 hours then. But you, if there was any work on you, you were away. In a small-time firm like that, you didn't know when you were going to come back.
Was there much unemployment in the area?
No, it wasn't that much. There was too much work. And you had the local ones that didn't like work, who sang the dole, but there was loads of work if you wanted.
So there's no shortage of work?
No, not at that time. You couldn't keep it there. It went right through to the 60s. I think it was the 60s when the first time I'd ever seen employment.
Did you get annual holidays?
No. Well, it was worse still, but we used to work them. We used to work them over there. It was all, if you, there was a job come up here, we used to work all the time. He was a gambler that get the look I work for. You like to have a gamble.
What about the social side of life? What sort of things would you get into?
Social life? Well, when we were 15, we went across and went across to the pallies, the dances. We started the dances. I travelled from here to concert. I travelled up from here to Durham, Six Pit, Newburn, Throckley, because my sister lived up there at the time. We went out to Sunland, Washington, so we went all the dances and they got. And if the tin plates are ordnance factory, any dues on, normally it was in Newcastle, and it was in the dance hall across there now, wait a minute, I've got to think of it. It was the Oxford Garage you went to. And we went across there, the tin plates, there were all losses down there, most of the losses were men. So if you got up with that bus, there was generally about three buses go across.
What's the tin plates?
The tin plates was a tin plates. It's the Bertie tin plates. They used to make tins and cans and bottles, you know, that type of thing. During the war, they made their water bottles and their tins that way. And they were there, jugs. So you went with them, you were laughing because you only had to pay to get in, because the social firm was Sir Shilling. So it was easy for me, Jack and Jimmy, and that was where, you know, the five we used to kick around together. So we're always invited, because some of the girls were, you know, going around with. And the welfare, we went to the welfare. What a good life that way. And of course, the picture houses. Well, I was fortunate in that one when I was 8, because when I used to work for Lee's, he used to take the vegetables down to the pubs in that one, where all the doctors, you'd go in one door and put the stuff through, and you'd get some exchange for that one, into the off white license place, get that one, and go across to the Hammond, where I had my job, was with John, or Dickie, whichever it was. We should get the passes for the pictures. Then up the Queens, then we should get them there. Then the buffs. And then we're laughing, so we had three passes. The Royal, the Plaza, and go there. And went to there.
Were you a member of any Boy Scouts or Cubs brigades?
I was in the Cubs from six till ten. And after that one, the house had to be changed over because the army took it over, and that was what it was. It was like the Cubs couldn't go on.
Where was this, sorry?
It was the church. It's called a church house, and that was where we had it. It was a hall there. It was just a small place. It would be about 15 or 100 place. 15 to 20 at the most. Well, I think about 15 would take it all in. And that was what it was. And then when the scouts had to go across, well, they had to wait a little bit because I had quite a, you know, thing. I didn't fancy the boys' brigade. But I tried it. I mean, say, went down, tried that one. I was in the youth club. I was in Berkeley's youth club. I was in that one, where we used to do training, that one, a bit boxing, gymnastics.
Just going back to the Cubs, you mentioned that you had to join the Cubs, was that...?
No, I joined it because the lads I was with, they went in, so we decided, we were all the same. When you go, we went together, and if anybody went in, you tried it. And if we always thought that was the other idea, go in and try it. And if it was good, you stopped. If it wasn't, come out. We started there. And when I went to the youth club, I went up to Burt East. But also when I was going to Burt East, I had to travel, you know, I'd walk up there. But it was not a bother when he went through the fields or stopping at night, but on a night time, coming back, you had to walk through the field. So it wasn't that way. So I joined the Catholic club. Now, I'm not a Catholic. I go there every day of my lifetime and been there most times. But I joined that one, and that was a big laugh because I had to join the boxing club. I didn't do much with it, but at the end of the day, I fought a bloke up here and I got into the round, and I fought a man in here in the thing. So I went in the, it was the same like club thing. And unfortunately, when I went across, it was my uncle's son. I had to fight, so I couldn't fight them, blinking them, because my cousins couldn't know who I was. So I couldn't fight them with my name, so I had to change my name off.
What other activities did you get up to with the youth club?
I went away with the scouts a couple of times. No, I wasn't the scouts, but I went away camp with them for a couple of times. We went there.
What sort of things would you do with the scouts? I don't know where the Cubs were there.
During the war, you went round there. You're on the armistice day, you went there, and that was what it was. You'd done that one. I actually joined, went in with the scout a little bit, but I never got the uniform, right? In the youth clubs, where you never done, you just went in there because it was an occupation from the school. Sammy Wardle, Mr. Wardle, I should say, he used to take with there. And kept her there from 4 o'clock when you left school, 4:30 till 6 o'clock. And then the over 18 started to come in, and you could stop till 7 o'clock. But that was then you had to leave. There was also girls there, and they were doing cookery, and that type of thing. And then they were doing some exercise as well. But you played football outside, cricket, learned that. Basketball's another one.
What other jobs did you have? You were working when you were 15.
Well, as I said, I was on the horse and carts, going up there and looking after that one. What do you call the jobs? I mean, seriously, go and run messages. If you want, that was like doing the message and that one. I've done that for a lot of people. I had to help the woman next door because if nobody could in the house, she was a spastic, you know, in a chair, like, get her out of the chair, lift her out of the chair, because I was pretty strong at the time. And I went weightlifting. And then my brother came around me, I started going racing, horse racing, because he took us there and he took us the dogs. Yeah, I done most things, I don't think I've done out else, really.
Your working life, did you complete your apprenticeship?
No, I stopped us because when I was going on my apprenticeship, I was supposed to sign in the store hall down here. And unfortunately, they came up when I went, I didn't see the list up here because when I came across, I must have just missed it. We've been walking with a barrow and passed the place, and I says to Bob, is there any list up there for the 18-year-olds because we're coming up? There was three of them. And he goes, no, there's nothing up. You know, for the sign on, you know, the date for the company's at us. I says, right, oh, I said, I'll go and say great and get me form. No, but I get put back. And he says, right, you are, so we'll catch him. And as it happened, he had just resigned. And a man from Springwell, I took, you know, Esther, they call the lad, Esther. And I couldn't get him. And anyway, when I went back again, I went in September when I seen, my number up, you know. Didn't send any letters them days. I just went across and there were about 10 of us went in, 10 or 15 that day, and signed on. And it was September the 22nd, I think it was somewhere around that one, because it got me late on. Anyway, when the next time, within September, November, we pulled in, forward medicals, and I was in the army in December the 5th, of the 6th, sorry, the 6th of December. I was in the army by then, September, October. October, and we're in the army in December the 6th.
So you never finished your apprenticeship?
I had to come back. When I came back, I had to go to counselling. You had to work 6 months. They do a time scheme there where you're working with people. Right? I mean, say I was doing my there, and I had to go back with people like that. You had to do 6 months, and you had to work for a lower rate. Although you're, 21, near 21, quite a few want to do that.
So this time you must have obviously realised that this was coming up, your national service.
Yeah, well, again, you went across and they said they would get you when you went in the first time. We went to say, how do you register, right? He said, well, it comes on the notice board. Well, you just look for it. But you're not going to go every blinking day to find it. So when it's your birthday, and you can own us like what we are, double to 23, right? We are 51, 23. National service, I'm group, right? 51, 23. The last that year. So that's what you've got to remember. So, and that's you expect them to tell you the same thing. So it's going to be July. So what they've got to do, I don't know what it was them days, I can't remember yet of this day. I've got my records in the house, but it maybe be every 3 months you maybe have to do it. You know, I should imagine, I don't know. It wasn't every month. I didn't think you registered then. I don't think you did. I mean, see, some of the lads didn't register. Some of the lads didn't go to 19 and 20. Some of them didn't register later on. The honest ones just looked at it for it, didn't they?
How did you feel about this then, about having to join the army?
Well, like anything else, you were annoyed, the fact is, but you were with, when we went for to get one medicals over in the town, there was about 16 who were from Bertie going across, there were painters, bricklayers, joiners, and we're all, going across and we're saying, well, we'll get the forms, but with the shortcomings on that one. I mean, we didn't realise that, but the shortcomings of it. Because at the time, the gun was short of thinking manpower. The career was coming up. Malia. Kenya.
What year was this?
1950, 1951. When were they? When I got to go in. That's when we were about to sign on. And the lads that was 21 automatically just come in.
What about the rest of your group, your group of friends?
The groups we went across with, at the end of the day when we came back again, we went across and it was the Army, the Navy and the Air Force. But the Tom was a painter, Reuben Baldwin and another one. They went in, the Catholic, he was a Catholic, and anyway, they got in the Navy, but they signed on. I didn't realize they signed on for 3 years. In actual fact, the boat, the one done 12, one done 22, was a submarine. That's the Tom Peel I'm talking about, the one, my mate. He done 20, I think it's 22, and he maybe done another two after that one. And the other one done 12, and they came out and went the ordnance, both went the ordnance factory, so they'd keep the Army standard on. But most went to the Army. I think about four got in the Air Force there. Most were there, because of tradesmen. Even the lads that was in the mines, they were up above. They were in the engineer, you know, they were above the mine. So they can't get exempt. And even they had to go. Although we're working for the NCB, they still had to go in the factories. But you had to get deferred for that one. You had to put them through. And the unions was the one I used to do that one. Now you're indentured through the council, and the council could claim like a government department, then three of them didn't come in with. They came in later on. You know, when we were just on, we were out, they were coming back in. But a lot of was short-changed by the trade.
Did you get a choice of which unit you went into?
Yes, when we went through the camp, the first time we went through the camp, went through the doors, me, Harry, Ham, Billy Harris, or, you know, Ham Harris as it was called. We were on the same bus, and the other lads was following behind. We went through the door, and we just had a sign up, but somebody had moved the sign, you know. Register here, because we went to the guard room. He says, just go along there and turn to your left. We went across, there was a slight road up there, if you go through that one.
Where's that? The
Brandsworth Camp. You go through the door, get off the hull, off the crook bus.
Brandsworth.
Right, Brandsworth. You get up there, walk, so instead of going to the castle, you went to the camp. You get off there, and went through there, and he just turned, said that way. So but somebody had changed the sign over that way, and it was like that. So I went across and I seen this gentleman. I'd see a gentleman. I've not been that way inclined. And I said to him, can you tell me where? And before I got my word, I says, you go and get yourself a bit of haircut. I says, I've had a haircut. So I went in anyhow and he's gone to get the thing, and the lad says to me, he says, what do you want here? I says, hey, I says, there's a little bugger out there. He just chases in here to get a haircut. And he says, I'm not sure, I don't know him. So, because I knew the lad, because he had a business in Chess Street in Durham. So I cut it and I went back again, out again. And he has this big colour, either a Cold Spring Guard or a Scotch one. I think it was a Cold Streams. I think it was just Cold Streams. And the military police, Tucson there. So I went, you get that haircut again. I went in, it's cut the short. The third time I went in, I can't see any. He says, just sat down. I says, right, I says, that'll do. Walks out the day. And he said something, before you open me, I said, be open your own bloody mouth. I says, if you can't pay that man a pound, I says, keep your job shut. And I says, can you please show me where I've got to sign on? Because I'm not in the bloody arm yet, but that man wants a pound off you. And he was the RSM, roughly. And that's what I stopped, and that's what I picked the guy, I picked the bloody day alive for. That was the sheer reason what it was, because I'm getting frustrated. I could have picked them up and hit the bugger, but my brother says, You're a seer. He says he was a seer. Don't ever pick on him. When you go in, keep quiet, walk through, and learn your lesson. Keep it shut. Well, I tried it.
So that was your first day?
That was bad. I hadn't even been in the camp half an hour.
So you didn't know which regiment you were joining or anything?
No, but when I seen him, I went straight in. I says, right, I'm going to stop with this one. Because they got the when I walked along there, when we took the recruiting office, you know, while you sign on, and you don't get the kingship, you know what I mean? Went in, you had to pass the test, you know.
Where did you sign on at?
At Brunswick. You went up there.
So you were just told to report to Brunswick?
You went to Brunswick, before you went in, you signed on that line, you were told straight away to get into the showers, took along the showers, you got a shower there, you got yourself showered, you got a towel, and you got showered, and you came back. There was knee hot water, you come back into the cut there, you had to sit the test, which is, you know, the normal thing, writing.
Can you remember what it was, the test? Can you remember what it
was? The colour system, the bicycle pump. There was a brakes, there was a brake there. Yeah, what was the other one? Electrics with the wires in. There wasn't an earth MDS. It was two wires that you put in a plug, and that was it. And you had to sort them out, you know, that type of thing. I think it was this, right? Then you had done the colour scheme, which is the basics of what it was. You know, the colours, and how you can see different graphs in that one. And then you had to stand up and do some of the physical things, I think it was.
And when was this? Was this on your first...
On the first day then. First day there. Then you were taken from there, taken up to the hut where you were going to go into, because, you know, and you were taken from there back down to the stores. No, you were taken into the canteen and had a meal, that was it. You had a meal, a cup of tea in that one. And from there, you were took along to the stores, which is near enough the guard room. You were kitted out there. You had to come back again. And one of the lads...
What sort of uniform were you issued with? Can you remember what?
You got two pair of boots, your BD, your gaiters, two pair of socks, two shirts, two vests, I think it was two vests, belt, and then... What was the other thing? Oh, a beret. You had to get a beret. You just stuck on your head and you see that fit you. Tie the rope on. And then you got a badge. In a badge. That was the rope. So you got your badge.
Did you get measured for it?
No, you just chucked it. There was nothing there. It was the closest you got. You just stood up and he says, you're size 9. A pair of sand shoes. He's just for an idea. Give me a pair of size 7 sand shoes. I had 8. I was 8 then. There was 9 when I come there. And you just got that one. You went back to camp, into the thing, and you got mentioned with the corporal. But the best one about it was with the three word getting issued. The lad says, I'll show you a shortcut. So right, shortcut. The only shortcut you've got is a square. And of course, the little fellow was waiting there. You silly so-and-sos. Now, can you tell you what his words were? And it was something else. He'll double across. Well, we just walked across. And then Weir got a hold of Sergeant Weir. He was a training sergeant.